Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Father, there's a holy hush has fallen over this place because we've been ushered into your very presence. And it's hard to even speak. We just want to sit and revel in the knowledge that you are here. We don't have to reach out to touch the hem of your garment because you reach out your hand to touch us. And so, Father, this morning, may we, with the empty hand of faith, reach out and allow you to take us by the hand. You know every need and every burden in our lives. You know every joy, you know every sorrow. And I lift this congregation to you and those who are listening in on the internet. And I pray that each and every person in the sound of my voice would know the touch of your hand today. And that each and every one of us would open our heart and our ears to whatever it is that you would like to say to us this day. By your Holy Spirit, descend upon us. Captivate our thoughts and the deepest intent of our hearts to the very person of Jesus. And may we all be able to say with me, Lord, I love you more than life itself. And now, Father, we commit the rest of this time to you and ask for your presence and your help, that we may all say, blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he who is here and present with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed is he who comes. In Jerusalem, on that first Palm Sunday, preparations were well underway for the most significant feast in the Jewish calendar, called Passover. The pilgrims were coming to Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples were traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Passover commemorated their divine deliverance from slavery in Egypt almost 2,000 years earlier. At that time, God had performed many miraculous feats as Moses declared again and again to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not release the people of Israel in spite of the plagues that had come. But the hand of God was about to move in such a way as Pharaoh would be compelled to let them go. It was the final plague. It was a plague of the angel of death, who would come over the land and strike the firstborn of every family and animal, except in the homes where by faith they had obeyed God and made a sacrifice of an unblemished lamb and had sprinkled the blood of that sacrifice on their doorposts and over the top of the door. Let me read some of the verses about that story from Exodus chapter 12. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron." For over 1,700 years, every year, they had faithfully observed this sacred feast and still do to this day, remembering what God had done and how God had delivered them. Unknown to them, Passover was a picture, a foreshadow painted by God of a greater deliverance yet to come. The Passover provided a picture of Jesus Christ as the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God, his blood shed so that whoever by faith would accept the blood of this Lamb, the Lord Jesus, as sufficient for salvation, the angel of death would pass over them. The angel of death could not touch them, for they would be born to eternal life. That's you. That's me, if Christ is your Savior. The Passover provided a picture of the coming Messiah as the Lamb of God. As Jesus approached John the Baptist to be baptized by him and on another occasion, John identified Jesus to the crowd with these words, "Look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." From the lips of Jesus, we heard these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The angel of death has no claim over the Christian and must pass over because the blood of Christ is on our hearts. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Everyone together. Glory to his name. Oh, it's more exciting than that. It really is. You want to take a second run at that? Ready? Glory to his name. Wow. On that first Palm Sunday, as the pilgrims journeyed toward Jerusalem, and the high priests and the temple workers were busy preparing for the annual Passover feast, no one knew that this year Passover would be unlike any other in history. Events would take place that had never happened before and would never happen again. The events of the next 7 days would forever alter the course of human history. Is it any wonder that we proclaim, as they did in that day, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I want to share with you this morning three things that we learn about Jesus on this occasion. Oh, there could be many more, but just three that I've picked out. One of the most amazing things about Jesus was his unshakable resolve to be our Savior. Unshakable resolve. As Jesus traveled toward Jerusalem, he did so intentionally. He did so with great resolve. He knew what lay ahead. He knew what the week would unfold. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, near the end at verse 51, we read, "As the time approached for him," meaning Jesus, "to be taken up into heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." Another translation reads, "He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." The time had come. His earthly ministry was almost over, and Jesus steadfastly, resolutely, no turning away, no delaying the moment, set his course for Jerusalem, knowing the pain and the suffering that awaited him there in the days ahead. Yet he did not waver. He was resolved to fulfill his divine mission, as he had been even from before the dawn of time. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, existent with the Father for all of time, from all of eternity. There has never been a point in all of eternity past where Jesus did not exist. With God, present with God, one with God, very God of very God. He knew even before the foundations of the earth were laid, before he had formed with his own hand Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into that lump of dirt the breath of life. Jesus knew even then that in the sphere of time as created for us, down the road of human history, there would be a hill called Mount Calvary. And on that hill one day there would be erected a cross, and on that cross he himself, the very Son of God, veiled in human flesh, would suffer indescribable agony as he took on himself the sin of the whole world. Knowing all this, he breathed into Adam the breath of life. He continued to move creation forward with an unshakable resolve. And while the ages of human history would roll by, people would be born, would go about their daily activities, nations would rise, nations would fall, yet God in Christ, with an unshakable resolve, continued to guide history toward Bethlehem. And a young lady named Mary. When Jesus would step into this world through human birth, and then on toward Calvary, and on toward the cross, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, would die for the sins of the whole world. Let that soak in. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you know? See, Jesus knew the cost of redemption's plan. He drew the plan himself from his heart of eternal love and mercy and forgiveness. He knew the price he would pay. Only he could. Only Jesus. No one else could be the perfect Lamb of God. Only Jesus could be the sacrifice whose blood could cause the angel of death to pass over. Only Jesus' blood could be the ransom price for you and for me. And knowing that, Jesus moves steadfastly toward Jerusalem with an unshakable resolve. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As Jesus was moving toward Jerusalem, we also find that there was an occasion, more than what is recorded, I'm sure, where Jesus wept over Jerusalem. When it was 3 days' journey yet from Jerusalem, over the hills of Judea, they would come, and as he crested one of those hills, off in the distance, he could see Jerusalem. Great walls of that city. And he wept. Luke's Gospel chapter 13 records his words, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And he wasn't referring to Palm Sunday. Jesus knew the price that they would pay for rejecting him. He knew the end of sin is death. He knew the destruction that would come to the city as a few years later, the army of Titus would raise it to the ground and the great dispersion of his people would take place that would last for over 2,000 years. When Jerusalem would once again, when Israel would once again become a nation. And now, most recently, Jerusalem being recognized as the capital of the Israeli people. That is important stuff. The nation of Israel would come back into their land again as one of the signs that the last days had come. It was 70 years ago on May the 14th, 1948, that Israel was declared a nation after 2,000 years of exile and dispersion in the world. God is still guiding history, folk. There is a day that's coming. There's a preparation for a day that's coming when the nation of Israel will once again say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen? That day is not far away, I'm thinking. The signs were all there. Even in the shofar that they blew, that's the ram's horn. They all knew that that ram's horn took them all the way back to Abraham and Isaac, where God had commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And before the knife was plunged in, God stopped Abraham. There was a ram in the thicket provided as a substitute. The ram's horn spoke to that. It's a picture, a reminder. God provided a substitute, and now God is providing his son as the substitute. How could they miss it? Jesus knew the price the people would pay if they rejected him as Savior. All of this was on his heart. What about you? Hymn writer puts it this way: "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. All the love that drew salvation's plan, all the love that brought it down to man, all the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary, he did it for you. Don't miss it, folk. If you haven't received Christ as your Savior yet, don't miss it. Recognize that he is here and recognize his call. He will accept you just as you are, I promise you. He won't leave you that way." Okay, don't be afraid of that. That's a good thing. Blessed is he who comes. The third thing we note from this occasion of the first Palm Sunday is, of course, what we celebrate is that Jesus was hailed as King. The road to Jerusalem was crowded. Hundreds upon hundreds of pilgrims were traveling to the city for the Passover. You just imagine the din of the crowd. Some would be singing what is called in the Psalms, the songs of ascents, meaning it was songs that the pilgrims would sing as they were ascending up toward Jerusalem. Let me just excerpt a few for you. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels." They would have been singing these words. Others would be recounting to their children the events of the Exodus over 1,700 years earlier. Does your family celebrate family events 1,700 years old? Think about it. They would be recounting these things and how they were looking for the promised one. You see, that was their focus. The Messiah who was to come and deliver them once again from their oppression. To them, though, that was Rome. They didn't really understand their greater oppressor, Satan, and their need for a Savior from a much different enemy. The imagination cannot do justice, folk, to what must have transpired. Put yourself there. When the crowd realized, stand right in the middle of the crowd, Think of the moment when the crowd realized that the one they're talking about, the one they're anticipating, was right there in their midst. As they recalled the words of the prophet Zechariah, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I imagine that all of a sudden, everything grew very still. It was just like full stop, frozen in place. Not a sound heard, maybe not even a bird singing. Then, just as suddenly, the crowd was running to get palm branches to lay on the pathway. They were clearing the path before the Lord and laying their cloaks and palm branches before him as the ancient sign of homage to a king. And the crowd began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." They hailed him as king that day. But a number of days later, the crowd that would gather then would be crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But shadowed here on this day is the one who first came to be our Savior, but he is coming again. He's coming again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is. He's coming. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. If I'd have thought about it, you could have sung it for us. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet sounds the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstand's all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing. Amazing grace. Think about it. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Amen. 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 Blessed is he who comes. He's coming. Don't miss it. It could be one day soon. It could be today. We do not know. He's not just the coming king. For others he is, for many that's all he is, a coming king that they don't even know and many aren't even aware of. But for you and for me, he's the present king, not the coming king. He's the present king, and he's present here in this room, and he's present in your life and my life each and every day, each and every breath that we take, if he is our Savior. And he is the one to whom we owe our homage, our devotion, our worship, our obedience. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. The question is he your king? You know, a king reigns and rules over his subjects. Is he really your king? Who's ruling in your life? Are you ready if Jesus should come today? Blessed is he who comes. Even so, Lord Jesus. Come, let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you. We recognize today that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords and you are present here in all of your regal glory. But you're also here as Savior, as the gentle shepherd the one who reaches out and invites any here today who do not know you as Savior, the opportunity to receive you and to receive your gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. It all happened at the cross for us. Thank you for what you did. And thank you for what you want to do in each one of our lives. But Lord, may we, your people today, acknowledge you as our King and bow before you and let you reign and rule in every way as we look forward to the day when you will return. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.